D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. DHC know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Well, Tomas, it's a lazy Monday here at the SEC Pub.
Yes, it is.
You know, we stuck inside. Patio's open. Everybody's out there. We
beautiful
stuck in
day.
Here.
Yep.
Yeah. So
outside eating that Cajun food from the restaurant next door.
Yep. Well, I hope so. Actually, it's a slower news day than I would hope for this Monday after the rookie minicamp this week. Matter of fact, so slow, Heath had so little, he didn't show up.
Man.
Can you believe that? We got
unbelievable.
So appetizers and beers.
Just a duo today.
Yeah, yeah. Appetizers and beers, and you think he'd at least show up for that.
No.
But no, he had some family obligation.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write him a strongly worded letter and ask him where his priorities are.
Absolutely.
Doing the show or spending time with his kids.
I mean, come on. Yeah. You got to have the right process going on.
Anyway, so there's all kind of stuff. I'm a little disappointed. There's news. But I guess I was expecting to get more of those, even if it was just those fluff pieces, getting, you know, comments from the coaches and whatever, just to make you feel excited about all these guys. And there really wasn't a whole bunch.
There were a few from Sean Payton.
Yeah, well, and you're going to share that with us in a little bit.
Yeah.
We had some signings and some releases.
Yep.
Nothing. You know, So and there's a couple of players ahead of schedule, injury-wise.
Yep.
So that's going to be exciting. Let's see. A betting odds. You a big gambler?
Used to be, but my wife now prohibits that.
Yes,
so
yeah.
I only gamble on occasion, like, you know, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont.
Okay, the big boys, big stuff.
Just those big three. And then occasionally my wife will let me splurge and bet a Super Bowl. But
I don't gamble. Not that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it.
I didn't say I was good at it.
I mean,
I just enjoy the excitement of it.
I'd rather just give my money away to somebody, you know, like, hey, instead of gambling, or go buy something, you know?
Yeah, I understand. But see, here's how we do it. You know, we have that beautiful racetrack here, Keeneland.
Yep.
So my wife and I try to go once a season to Keeneland, and I give her a $100 bill and say, here you go. When it's gone, it's gone. Don't come asking me for more.
Right,
it's done. You know, and then I take my $100 bill, and the first thing I do is go to a bar.
Yeah, there you go. Find a place to sit. See, that's part of the problem going out there, too, man.
I like being outside. We've been very fortunate. Only one time did we go that the weather was miserable. But the rest of the time, it was fine. We sat in the reserved section of the grandstand.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As long as you have a place to sit and relax and watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but, man, when you're standing out there and walking around and elbow to elbow,
I don't do that.
I don't really do that elbow to elbow. That's okay when you're your age.
You know, how old are you?
26. 26.
26, yeah. Man. That's a lucky guy.
But
I'm the opposite numbers. Same numbers, but the opposite direction. So there
you go. Maybe that's subliminal. I probably knew it. But there's some big news.
Yeah? What's the big news?
Tomas, I'm excited to tell you, and I think all of our listeners will be excited to find out, that I coordinated with Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. He was an NFL scout. He was an NFL coach. He also coordinated the NFL scouting combine at one point. And he's going to be part of our show on a weekly basis going forward, starting like next week.
That's great.
I'm excited. I think he's going to bring a lot of insight and information that will only add to the show, add to you and Pete's input. And I think a lot of people are going to be excited about it. I know I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of people, when they go to podcasts, they try to find somebody who has, as they say, credentials.
Right.
You know, we're just three guys who shoot the breeze a lot. Which
BS,
what
right?
We call BS and beer.
Yeah.
You know, have a couple of beers, shoot the, you know what, and, you know, go at it. You know, now, like we've said before, we, of course, are not your average fans. I mean, I feel that we have a pretty distinct knowledge of the game and of the players. But it's nice to have somebody who is actually a former NFL scout that brings a whole different.
He's been inside the locker room, you know. I'm sure he has a lot of connections. Well, not sure. I know he has a lot of connections. So we'll probably be able to get some tidbits of information.
That's good.
That you might not.
We'll
be
see
able
how
to
much he agrees with me.
Yeah, that, you know, there you go. We can kind of test ourselves too. It's like, you know, Chris, I think such and such, you know, and he'd be like, you could tell he probably won't be rude. He'd be like, nah, you know. So I can see that coming a lot.
Yeah, we'll
see.
Know?
Yeah, we'll
see. But how long it takes before I insult him?
That, come on now. We can't have any of that. We gotta be nice to our guests.
I'll be nice, but he'll probably feel insulted.
I feel insulted just about every time I talk to you.
See,
so
there
I,
you
I
go.
Appreciate it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Y'all go out there, check out his website. Man, so much information. Not just the Saints. He has information on the entire NFL.
Cool.
But a very good, and he's a local boy too. So he, you know, he obviously has a little one eye on the NFL and one eye on the Saints. So it's going to be it's a good thing.
What about his third eye?
See, that's the kind of insults I'm talking about, Tomas. We can't have guests and company if you can't get it together.
I'm so sorry.
All right, let's get this dog and pony show rolling.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, let's talk about those big signings. So
well, hold on, before you get to
well,
that,
you got something?
I think we need to spruce up that little. That little break there, because what happened to Veterans Memorial and David Drive? It's always Airline Highway.
Oh, we're going to have to, I mean.
And you know, by the way, they don't call it Airline Highway anymore.
No, Airline Drive.
Airline Drive.
I've heard them say that. I didn't realize it. I just thought I was always wrong.
All my life has been Airline Highway.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I left New Orleans in 88, you know, so, but all my life had been Airline Highway. Then all of a sudden I hear Airline Drive. I'm like, where's Airline Drive? You know? I grew up
a road that connects to it.
Yeah, see, because I grew up on David Drive, which is the road where the Saints' first facility was, off of Airline Highway and David Drive. You know, so it's kind of interesting. But anyway, I just thought, you know, throw out some, you know.
Some trivia.
Yeah,
you
know,
this is a little bit of trivia. All right, I feel you. I mean, man, but I paid big bucks to have that guy say all that stuff.
Well, we're not going to change it.
I'm not going to pay another $5 to have him do it again.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, so that's just throwing good money after bad.
That's
right
a bottle
there.
Of beer right there.
All right. So, signings.
Signings. Go ahead.
Khalif Barnes, offensive tackle.
Yep.
I mean, that could be a big impact.
Is he on Social Security yet?
Not yet, but I think that he's applying for it. Okay. Yeah, he's already applied for that job as a greeter over at Walmart, you know. So,
yeah, there you go.
Clay Harbor. I wrote it down. I forgot to write.
Tight end,
that's right.
You're welcome.
Detroit Lions. I was really going to point out
that. We need to tell Gary.
Yeah.
He used to
Gary
play Detroit.
Can give us some more insight.
There you go.
But here's the thing is –
Camp body. What? Sorry?
Yeah. I when I said dad, I knew so little about the guy, I'm like, I mean, it's not worth my time to spend much energy.
I think he has either 5 or 6 years of a – I'm trying to remember. Is that the guy who was drafted by Philadelphia as a tight end? Might be. I can't remember. Okay, go ahead.
And then Justin Thomas.
I'm so well prepared for today's show. But
right. I know, right? Justin Thomas, quarterback.
Maybe.
Out of Georgia Tech, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, but not really.
What does that mean?
He's been signed as a quote-unquote athlete.
Do they do that in the pros?
Yes, because he was a quarterback at Georgia Tech. But then at his pro day, he worked out as wide receiver and defensive back. And at the mini camp, he worked out as wide receiver and defensive back. And so, you know, he's a – you know, when I was in high school, that's how we used to play, remember? We used to play both sides of the ball, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you like my high school, I think we might have had like 40 people come in. That's freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors. You know, you didn't have a lot of people to choose from. The coach would literally go walk through the school and be like, hey,
"You're big,
kid's pretty
play.
Big. Yeah, come on and talk him into playing." But very seldom. I mean, I watch him do it, you know, because you're like, "Oh man, you know that guy is big. I hope he don't take my spot." And then all of a sudden, you get him out on there. He's
one time. He's
and you see why he wasn't on the football team to begin with. So very rarely does it work out.
But anyway, I think that they, you know, is going to be one of those project kind of guys, you know, perhaps.
You see, I didn't write down this one guy's name.
Who?
A guy that I saw the Saints sign, and I didn't because I'm like, well, that's not even worth, you know, following up on. But now that you brought that up, the guy is an offensive guard, but they brought him in originally as a defensive end.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, see, that just makes it interesting.
That's another one.
What
just
you
like
said.
We had
Drew Eddings. And they brought him in as a defensive end, and I guess the Saints end up cutting another, you know, body and moved him to guard.
Yeah.
So now they got a guy in there, guard.
Last year,
South Dakota
though,
State.
Then we have a defensive guy that we had kept.
Yeah, it was a defensive tackle. We moved over to guard.
And then we let him go at the end of the year.
Undrafted free agent,
right,
defensive
right,
tackle.
Right. Right.
But the only reason I bring that up is because I saw it and I'm like, man, that's not worth, you know, spending much time on. But then when you said that, I'm like, well, hell, we going back to the high school days. You know, the guy plays a little defensive end, a little guard, you know, have him run down on the kickoff team. Whatever it takes,
well,
coach.
He's an athlete, and so you never know. I mean, I think that he's not what was the guy's name with the Cajun name that couldn't play football?
Oh, the big, tall cornerback, Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
Yes, right. Yeah. He's not that. He's really an athlete.
Well, I knew that. I knew Baptiste wasn't going to make it whenever they clarified that it wasn't Jean. It was Gene.
Gene.
Like, get out of here, man.
Exactly.
Come on now. You ain't going to. Exactly. Whatever patience I had with you, get out of here. Yeah. Not even going to work.
All right, well, just let me give you some of the names, and then we'll just go right from there. How about that? So here's what I had. They've signed tackle Khalif Barnes, 6'6", 320, who, you know, lost a lot of weight to stay on the
team. Down
then.
From 6'6", 390.
I
don't know what
it was. Huge.
Three.
So they signed him. And then a kid named Edmonds, 6'2", 223, running back. And they signed Harbor, who I told you was a tight end.
Yeah.
Then Eddings, however you say his name, the offensive line guy who used to be defensive tackle. And another guy was Liribus, who was originally selected in the third round of the NFL draft by Washington Redskins. And he plays, he originally played guard, left guard.
Okay.
So those are the guys that they signed. Now, they also let go a bunch of guys. They let go Amand Fullwood, receiver from Florida, who... Somebody wrote a big write-up about him, like, oh, it's going to be the next find. And I'm like, yeah, okay, he's gone. Cornerback Anthony Gator, who they carried last year on the roster. I think it was on the developmental squad.
Okay.
Tackle Andrew Lauderdale, another guy somebody else wrote up about him, and he's gone too. center guard Clint Van Horn, and they terminated the contract of safety Shiloh Keo, which
now,
doesn't surprise me.
Now, here's the thing that really surprised me, because they just signed him in March,
yeah.
Keo.
Yeah,
so that,
but that was before the draft.
I could be wrong. I mean, obviously, this is speculation. But at the end of the day, you're going into the camp, you know, like you need bodies. And for them to cut them now, I guess it could be because they say, look, let's let them find a spot. You're not going to make the team. But, like, to me, man, if you sign a guy in March and then turn around and cut him now, it just tells me it might have been a problem, you know, something about his personality they didn't like. Or maybe
so
it could be.
I don't think so, because he played last year, and they liked how he played last year enough to give him that contract.
Keo?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, Banjo, Keo, they signed a bunch of people because they didn't have anybody.
That's right.
And they played special teams.
They re-signed him in March.
Yes, but he's a special team guy, okay?
Right.
And now you've forgotten that we signed two guys from the Canadian League.
Yeah.
That were on the same team as Bro, and they're very high on both of those guys. And one of them is a special teams.
Well, and that's how they're going to have
to—they're
going to have to cut their teeth is on special teams.
And I think that what happened was they didn't expect to get Williams in the draft, and they didn't expect to get Lattimore in the draft. And so they were like, "Oh, we need defensive back safety, so we might as well sign this kid since he already knows the system." But then once Lattimore fell to us. And then Williams fell to us. That's two defensive backs. They had no way that they ever even thought that they'd be on the board.
Right.
So you suddenly picked up a starting safety and a starting cornerback. Well, now you got to cut some people loose.
Yeah.
You know? So, and like I told you before we started the show, if you're going to keep anybody extra, it's going to be on linebacker. It's not going to be defensive back cornerback. We already have too many back there. Believe me, you know, it's kind of odd, right? So last year, we're picking people off the street because we got nobody back there.
Right.
Now... here we are after rookie camp. I'm looking at the names and the numbers. And I'm thinking, we're going to cut some people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to cut some people that are going to be picked up by other teams.
Absolutely.
You know, and now we have three real safeties.
No, I'm not going to sit here and say that all these linebackers are going to be, but they're all better than what we had, especially at the end of the year.
No, I'm talking defensive back. I'm talking about defensive backs being cut.
And I'm saying the same thing with linebackers. So it's like you have a lot of guys on defense, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, based on injuries.
Need.
That they're just grabbing up whoever.
Sure.
And now you look at it, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of mixing up your defensive back talk and the linebacker talk.
It's okay.
I just look at all these guys that, you know, you're getting rid of, all the names that we brought in. Some of them, you know, have a little bit of injury issues or whatever, but if they overcome it, like, you know, like Teo, he's a solid NFL linebacker. I don't think he was ever great, but he's a good player and would be better, a bigger upgrade than anything we had on the roster, especially after all the injuries last year. So, defensively, man, we've accumulated a lot of depth. If these guys come back from injury, and I'm talking about in general, if the guys who were injured last year come back from injury, we're going to have a lot of decisions to make between good players.
Absolutely. So. And, I mean, if you think about, okay, who are our starting – who are the linebackers that we were counting on last year?
Let's see. You think of
Anthony
Stephon
would
Anthony,
be one.
Then
Ellerby would
Ellerby
be another one.
With his injury problems.
Marty.
Stupar.
Robertson.
I mean, even those guys healthy is not an impressive bunch.
That's
there.
What I'm saying to you. Yeah. You see? So, if anything, and this is what I said when we first talked about on one of the earlier shows, what we thought we needed. And we said the top four. And you might recall I was the only one who said running back.
No, you know what? And I
said linebacker. Okay. So,
I'll have to give you kudos because looking back on it, I mean, you need that premier, pass rusher and whatnot. But then when you really look at the guys that we have that while they might be injured, you do have bodies that can fill the spot at linebacker. Man, we were woefully weak.
Absolutely.
Across the board.
I mean, that's why we had to play the three safety set. Even with when we lost the one of them, we had played Harper. Because Harper was better than the backup linebackers we had on them.
Right, right.
I mean, if you just think about that point right there. You know, and don't get me wrong, I love Harper.
Sure.
You know, I hope
his day is come and gone.
Yeah, but you know. But when you say, okay, we're going to play Roman Harper because he's better than the guy we have sitting on the bench over here as linebacker.
Well, if you want to segue now into some comments that Mike Nolan made over the weekend
about
Stephon Anthony.
Absolutely.
So now I'll ask the question. I think the same reason the guy was drafted in the first round, you know, he watched basically one game against Tampa Bay last year where Anthony got extended playing time. And, you know, by all accounts, played solid football. Now, the thing about it is we have no idea if they dumbed down the defense, and I don't mean that.
Well,
no
he
pun
played
intended.
Strong. He didn't play middle.
No, okay. I believe he played middle.
No, because we're still playing the three safety with two linebackers.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you or debate with you because I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident the reason is because at that point that's when Robertson hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just had nothing left. And I believe he played middle linebacker because, you know, I remember
thinking.
So
who do we have as a three linebacker?
Well, I don't know if we played with three. I think we played with two. You know, at that point you had Ellerby was back.
Yeah.
And then I think Stephon Anthony just stepped in because we had no healthy linebackers.
Yeah.
And then after that we didn't see him again. Got injured at some point. It wasn't something where they
You know, I don't know that we can go by the name middle, left, or right, or strong, or willer. Because at that point they were just whatever.
Healthy bodies.
Field.
Yeah, healthy bodies on the field.
They're just putting them out there. So, and again, that might be part of it, too, that he had a decent game because, again, they told him like he did when he first came here. Son, just go after the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But Mike Nolan was very impressed with him.
No, he was. Yeah, he spoke highly of him.
Not just of that game, but that's the film that he was able to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he probably went back to his rookie year and watched film where a lot of tackles. Mike Nolan is a guy who I think will be able to bring more out of a player than any of the, you know, Vit and that group.
Yeah.
So I think he sees the potential in him.
Yeah.
Now, I am open because it makes me excited to think that maybe our first-round draft pick
might not be a bust.
We could somehow find a way to get him to play well.
Yeah.
But I'm also, you know, taking it with a grain of salt because I don't know. He met him in person. Nolan meets Anthony. He says he likes him. He's a good kid. He's a good person. And I think that there's a lot of want to. You probably walks down the hallway and you're like, man, who's that? Well, that's Stephon Anthony. Man, he looks like a middle linebacker. So, you know, you want to make it happen. Yeah. So,
well, and I found out more stuff about Nolan that I didn't know in the interview that I was watching him give, that he gave. He was talking about, somebody asked him about, well, you know, how did you end up here? Because last year he didn't coach at all. Last year he was doing network.
Right.
Football commentary. And he said that there were some mutual friends that when the job came open, mentioned it to him and mentioned it to, and so it got back to him. And it turns out he's got a connection to Tuna, you know, which is
Parcells,
you know, which is the big connection Peyton. With Sean. So apparently that's the way he said that he'd only been made acquaintances with Sean Payton, but he had a lot of mutual friends in the same circles, and he mentioned Parcells. So that was kind of interesting to me. And I have to tell you, I mean, he did a great job. Everything I've ever seen him do, he's been a fine coach. So maybe he can find a way to bring Anthony, you know, to be – he may not be a number one – and I don't want to say this the wrong way. He may not ever present himself as being a number one draft choice. But if he was presenting himself as a number three, you know, as a third-round draft choice or second-round draft choice, that'd be a heck of an improvement over what we got.
Bottom line is a good, solid NFL linebacker. Exactly. Maybe he's not an impact player, but he can play some good, solid.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's you know, and like I said, I mean, I don't see Marty back on the team after all he went through medically, and God bless him for what he did while he was there, you know. But you're now looking at basically Stupar, Robertson, and Ellerby. That's it. And Anthony. Those four guys are the only linebackers we have coming back. So, like I said to you, how many linebackers do we normally need? 7, 8? We got 4.
Right.
You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing Anzalone play. Mm-hmm. Again, in this interview that I saw, Nolan was really high on him and how smart he is and how he, you know, he knows what to do and hardworking. And so maybe all that business of the shoulder injuries behind him. And, you know, it might be a steal that we got in a...
Well, and that's important. That's an important part of these camps is to listen to the coaches, or if there's a way to know personally how quickly these young guys catch on.
Yep.
Because that determines a lot of how much playing time they'll get as a rookie. Now, they might end up developing into a good player, but if they have any chance of getting playing time early as a rookie, they have to be catching on to the playbook quickly.
That's correct.
Some guys, it takes them 3 years, and it's not necessarily a physical thing. It just takes them a while to catch on to the NFL, you know, way of life, or NFL way of doing things, and, you know, all the different techniques and the much larger playbook.
Sure,
you know,
and I think that's probably, you know, when you look around the league, it used to be why quarterbacks were drafted and then sat on a bench for 3 or 4 years, because it would take them that long to catch up from college ball the pro ball of how things are. And you hear that now when they're talking about these quarterbacks that they drafted so highly. Many coaches saying there's a big difference between playing in the college game and playing in a pro game. But I wanted to also bring up, I happened to get this tweet from one of the people I follow who sent me last year's starting defense. At defensive end, we had Jordan, Kruger, Tapp, and Edebali. On the inside, that was on the outside, defensive end. And the inside, we had Fairley and Rankins. And if you remember, Rankins was out more than half the season.
Yeah, half
right?
the season.
All right. So, and as far as I'm concerned, Kruger was out the whole season. And then at linebacker, we had – I had to find somebody new to pick on. You know?
That
was Kruger. But he's gone now. So
he's gone, so that makes him
– At linebacker, here we got Ellerby, Robertson, Stupar, Marty. That was our starters. Supposedly. Anthony wasn't even on the list.
Right.
Okay. And then at secondary, we had Vaughn Bell and Vaccaro at safety. Right. That was the people we had as the core of our defense last year. So now you think about it. Jordan, still going to be there. Edebali, don't see him making it.
Well, no, he's Kruger, not on the team. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. That's right. He signed with Denver. For
oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. He signed with Denver. So Edebali's gone. Kruger's gone. We did re-sign Tapp. Okay. Fairley and Rankins, I'm expecting big things from them in the middle, and also Davidson, who is not on this list. Then linebacker, okay, Ellerby, Robertson, Stupar, Marty, I don't expect back. Secondary, Bell and Vaccaro. Okay, now we pick up Williams for the safety. We have, hopefully, Bro coming back at one corner. He didn't have cornerbacks on here. Bro at one corner, Lattimore at the other corner. And then We'll see who comes back at what
maybe
strength.
Maybe PJ, maybe Swan. I mean, the bottom line is there's going to be some competition.
I know Crawley's going to be very much improved.
And Crawley, why do I keep forgetting him?
Yeah. I expect him to make the team. Maybe even Devontae Harris. I mean, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, see, you just don't know.
You never know.
But anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting when you look at what we had and what we had the possibility of having this year. I mean, I think the defense has improved tremendously just from a draft. And if half the kids from a draft and the UDFAs pan out, and we get our injured players back, because that's another thing. I mean, how many people had broken legs last year? You know, I mean, I've never seen a team with so many dang broken legs.
Well, the coincidence of a certain injury, meaning like the sports hernia.
Yeah.
And then it's like contagious, because then like three guys get
right, exactly.
And then one guy breaks his leg. You haven't seen a broken leg in 8 years, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, three guys break their legs.
Yeah, I mean, it's, how does that happen?
Yeah, it is crazy.
So anyway, there you have, you know, it looks interesting. The rookie camp that they had over the weekend, the looked like some people stepped up, and it looked like some of the coaches were, like, impressed with some of the people. But at this point, I can't see them being more than the undrafted ones as being anything more than camp bodies, you know, at this point. But we'll see. You know, and he even had an article that I thought was interesting, that one of the reasons they called up some of these veterans to give them a chance to have a look at was because they actually wanted to see the rookies play against them, because they're people with experience. So
right.
That we had Muhammad, who was there, our sixth-round draft pick. He had to play against Khalif Barnes.
Right.
You know, and we had, what's the other kid? Trey...
Oh, the defensive end.
Yeah. Hendrickson?
Yeah, Hendrickson.
Is that the correct name?
Yeah.
He had to go up against, you know, Barnes. And yeah. So they had some experienced people there simply to be able to even better judge where these rookies and where the draft people are.
Well, I'm sure they spent a lot of time just trying to figure out the playbook, figuring out where to run from one drill to the other. I'm sure it was a little – and that's funny, because if you've ever been to a practice – and you watch those guys come out, and they go to their drills, and they all know exactly where they're going and what they're doing.
Yep.
And, you know, it's coordinated. It takes a little effort to get those guys all on the same page.
Yes.
I can only imagine this. It was just guys bumping into each other and going the wrong way.
Hey, I thought you were over here.
No, I'm over there.
You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. Oh,
yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. There's no football offseason for LandryFootball.com, which is why all 32 NFL teams and most major college football programs are members. From college football and NFL roster analysis, all the latest in the recruiting and draft scene, as well as the inside scoop around the college and NFL game, is what you'll get. Be better prepared for this upcoming football season than ever before by becoming a member. Get access to an NFL scouting department, and for less than the cost of a magazine subscription. So head to LandryFootball.com, use subscription code SAINTS, and become a member today.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leaders in absolutely nothing.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Y'all go check it out. It's great information from a guy who's been in an NFL locker room, not only as a coach, as a scout. Very knowledgeable person. He's going to be joining us. I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or the week after. We're still coordinating that, trying to get our schedules to work out. But look forward to that. Be prepared. It's going to happen. It's going to be fun stuff. So the next thing, we have some guys, and now we're getting into names that we know, some names that we need, coming back from some injuries. We had a big scare last week with Unger. The reports were that he was going to miss, four or five games?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it looks like the reports are that they at least expect Unger to be back by game three of
preseason.
So now, and if you really think about it, the reason when I hear that, logic tells me that it's a good thing, and this is what I mean. I'm having a hard time expressing myself. What I'm saying is game three of a preseason is generally the one where they put the most effort into trying to play as close to real football as they can. And that means that if they see him coming back at that time, maybe he could come back early, but they say, hey, there's no point in it. Let's get him back for the dress rehearsal for the season. Get him out there and see how he operates, and get him ready for the start of the season on that last – or I'm sorry, not last, but the third preseason game. So to me, I think that's That's a good thing. I feel like that. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but what I'm saying is I feel like that means more than saying, oh, he'll be back for the first game. It tells me that maybe he could be back even earlier, but no, we're going
to
get him
I
back.
I think you're pushing it to get him to the third.
See, but then if
preseason.
That was the case, why? Why don't you just give him off the third preseason?
Because I'm
going to
tell you
fourth?
Why. I'm going to tell you why.
All right, let's hear it.
In my opinion, this is the reason why I think they need to get him back as soon as possible. I have always heard and believe this, that the offensive line must work as a unit. When you have the same people playing offensive line game after game, they get to learn each other, and they know each other's weaknesses and strengths. They know how to cover for each other, so it makes a big difference. But that comes with experience and time playing together. Okay, so now let's look at the Saints. You have the right tackle, Streif. Perhaps. If he doesn't get beat out, all right, Streif is there. World of experience. Great. Next to him, you're going to have a new right guard. Warford. Never played together. That means that the center, Unger, hasn't played with Warford either. So now Unger's out. Warford comes in. You know he's going to play at least one series, maybe two series, in the first preseason. Then one, two, or maybe three series in the second preseason. So by the time Unger comes back, he might have gotten used to my boy Jack Allen at center, you know, calling a game a certain way. So now you have to, again, recharge and restart. Remember what happened last year, right? We all thought, oh, my God, Breece is going to get killed here because the offensive line was so woeful for the first four preseason games.
Yeah.
And then they sort of came around a little bit. But really, they didn't gel to like game three or four of the season. So to me, I think that's the reason why they're pushing to have our center come back. Then, again, left guard, yeah, Kelemente. Unless, of course, they push him over to center. In which case, then, you're going to have somebody else playing new at left guard. No, sorry, my bad. Pete's place. I started thinking to myself, wait a second, I did that wrong. If Kelemente plays center, he's the backup guy. So he still won't have any connection to Pete, who's playing left guard. And hopefully, Armstead comes back, plays left tackle. So you have a mixed mash of players who've never played with each other. I mean, think about it. Pete played how long with Armstead getting there? Very little, because Armstead got hurt. Pete moved over to left tackle. So he's used to playing with Kelemente at right guard, at left guard. So it was Kelemente at guard, Pete at tackle.
We're going to have to get you a diagram, like a flow chart.
Yeah, because I'm pushing
it
all over
his,
in the air.
His hand, you got to see him, is over here, like drawing circles in the air. Yeah. So.
You know, but you understand what I'm saying? It's about... The offensive line comes together when the guys have come together over a period of time. And preseason is that time where the definitive, you're just pushing in new kids to see how they do. But you have an idea already. These are the five starters. So, to me, barring injury and barring that they've all come back healthy, you're going to have Armstead, Pete, Unger, Warford, Streif. That's what you're going to have. Our new kid, Ranchek, is going to come in as the extra tackle tight end position, just like Street did when he first started.
Sure.
That's what I see for this year. With Kelemente, the backup guy, who can play guard. Hey, actually, can play guard, tackle, center. He can play anyone in three positions.
Sure.
And then we'll have one other person, probably, who'll be guard, center kind of guy, because we already have the backup tackle. So, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting year, but I think that that's why they're pushing for Unger to come back. But the kind of injury that he has, the bones in his foot had a break in this. And the doctor for the Saints team, which you know I have it on here somewhere, Amos, right? Dr. Amos, thought that with just rest and staying off of it during the offseason, it would heal and come back together. Well, because I was trying to find out why he waits so long to get this thing fixed. So
well, I speculated about that last week.
So I did some investigating. So what it turns out is that it did not heal. And on the contrary, it separated further, which required him to have a screw put in there to hold the two bones together. Well, now, this kind of operation has happened to many offensive linemen before, and quite a few of them, unfortunately, have never recuperated from it. They couldn't play again. You know, or it took them a long time to come back. So they're pushing for week 3 of the preseason. But don't be surprised if it goes back to the original idea that now he's going to be out for 4 to 6 games of the regular season.
Yeah, well, that's discouraging.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what happens when you do the research, you know, about these things. So I was inquisitive since we talked about it last time, exactly what that injury was. And I can't think of the name of it right now, but it'll probably pop in my head. But
You mentioned him a little bit earlier, but this is the second part of the returning. Now I feel a little melancholy right now because I'm afraid you're going to tell me some bad news on Ramchek. Apparently, ahead of schedule from his hip surgery.
Right, labrum of the hip.
Yep, and looks like that he'll be ready for training camp.
Correct. That's where what it looks like.
Where now I can't even say it with enthusiasm after all that news you just gave me over.
But it's a different kind of injury.
Well, I get it. I'm just giving you a hard time, but yeah. Ramchek. I didn't realize the severity of his injury. That you know, but it was a pretty serious injury. But one that is pretty regularly healed up and come back from.
Right. A number of offensive linemen have that injury, have come down with that injury. And it's not as bad as, for example, Breeze when he tore the labrum up on his shoulder. That was a much different injury, much more severe.
Right.
This one was just, apparently it was a mild tear that was repaired, and he had it done right away. He didn't wait. And so the recovery is ahead of schedule because of that.
Okay.
So, and from what Sean Payton said, because Sean gave an interview about it and said that the good thing is that they're throwing everything in the playbook to him and he's picking it up really quick.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
So that's really important. Absolutely. You know, so that's good news. See, you're not,
there you go. Some good news. Now I feel better about it. Now I feel better.
They got a little bit better feel going on, you know.
All right. So then now I want to talk a little bit about your gambling problem. This is my gambling problem?
Yeah,
it's kind of an intervention right here. Me and the other 600 or 700 people who are listening to this podcast want to talk to you about this betting odds thing. So earlier in the off season, I guess the Saints were like somewhere around 60-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Correct. That's what I'm.
And after, so like, it's not just Saints fans who are optimistic. The boys in Vegas, and I don't know the exact number, but it got cut almost in half. So it went from like 61 to like 30-1.
33-1. It went from 60-1, 33-1, and now it's 16-1.
What? Yep. 16-1.
I got a gambling problem.
What they must have got. Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, for what? What would make it do that? I mean, well, I guess the line moved and everybody started betting them. But then after the news you just broke about Unger, I don't know why it didn't go back up.
Well, because I think the odds were like at the end of last season, you know, in the off time. It was 60-1 that the Saints were in the Super Bowl. Because who did they have on the team? I mean, that was
nobody.
You know, they hadn't
signed. They were on IR.
Right. They hadn't signed any free agents. They hadn't signed, no draft, apparently, you know, no UDFAs. So they were looking at the team that they already had. And so they had 60-1. Then they started signing some, you know, Warford got signed. You know, they started looking at some, you know, Klein got signed, linebacker. Teo got signed at linebacker. I mean, we started signing some people who all can play. You know, they have experience starting, and so the odds dropped 33-1. Then we had the draft, like I said to you before. No way did they expect to have Lattimore and Williams available. So suddenly the defense, in my opinion, went from a real area of, oh my gosh, who's going to stop anybody, to an area of like, you know, the offense is going to score. If the defense can even stop, you know, one out of every three drives. Because think, last year they were 7-9 with the pathetic defense that they had on the field. I mean, because you have to really think about this.
Yeah.
You know, at cornerback, Webb. I mean, seriously? He got beat like a drum on every play.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Okay.
Well, the irony in it is every once in a while he'd make a good play and showed you he was a very athletic guy. Maybe another example of why you don't go to watch the combine and get all excited because
exactly.
the guy.
Because
he didn't lack for athleticism.
Yeah.
But, man, on one play he would jump a route and knock the ball away. And you're like, man, that guy could play on the next play. He's running this way. Another
he doesn't
guy's
know where
running.
The guy went.
Just no idea where he should be on the field.
And that's what I'm saying to him. And lack of linebackers. Roman Harper at safety. So, you know, just think about that change alone. Kid Williams comes in, okay? Even as a rookie, more speed, you know, can play not as a strong safety. Yeah, he plays free safety.
Right.
Okay?
Rangy guy. Yeah.
Big difference, okay? So now you've got the ability of moving Vaccaro to a position that he's best at, which is in that box to stop everybody. Then you got Von Bell at the medium level. I've talked about this before. You look at three levels of safeties back there. You got that last guy back there who can actually really not take any bad angles, like Bird. I mean, you remember, Bird would be back there, and you'd go, okay, we got Bird back. And he'd take this terrible angle, and you're like, okay, he doesn't have the speed, that angle, he never catch the guy. And he did. Now you got a kid back there who's got speed to go side to side, and hopefully he won't take the bad angle. Well,
now, okay, I saw this, and you just reminded me.
My eyes are lighting up, by the way, in case you wonder.
I see the excitement in your face.
I am, man.
But Williams, one of the things I read about him as a negative was that he was kind of lanky. He was kind of, you know, they used a couple, I don't know, different adjectives to describe him.
Yes.
But and some criticism on his tackling.
Uh-huh. I think we had the same thing from Von Bell, didn't we?
Yeah, and that proved not to be the case. And yeah. I remember last offseason, Von Bell doing a couple of interviews, and kind of you could tell he was irritated by people saying that.
He couldn't.
I mean, I'm not he's not a Vaccaro, but he'll hit you and do pretty good job. Yeah. Well, they showed Williams, and they took a picture of him in uniform, and they showed his arms, and then they showed another picture of him this offseason, and I mean, he's huge. I mean, like, and it reminded me, if you remember, several years back, Brian Cushing.
Yes.
And they were like, wait a minute. They were like, here's a picture of him his sophomore year in college, and here's a picture of him as a rookie. And, I mean, it was like a little dude and, like, this animal, you know, and they're like, come on, man. I mean, but seriously, it went from they showed him, and, you know, like they put that tape or maybe it's a sweatband or whatever around their bicep, and it kind of makes
it's
it look
an elbow brace,
whatever it's called. Yeah. Come on now, they put that around
it's like
there
a big rubber band.
Yeah, it makes him look like, and they had him in his uniform, his little dangly arms and stuff, and then they showed him, and I mean, he looks like a beast, man. I mean, his arms are huge. So if there were some issues about, well, I hope he can put on some weight and be effective in the run game, you shouldn't have any problem unless he's mentally soft. I mean, he was huge.
Well, and then again, this is why I say, and you know I've said this all the time, they draft these kids, they bring them in. Now, I guarantee you this. Here they went to rookie camp. Rookie camp, they sat down with a dietitian. The dietitian said, ain't no more McDonald's for you.
Right.
You know, this is what you're going to be eating now because we need you to be at this weight. Then they went to the gym and I said, you got them puny arms, buddy. You got to beef up them arms. You do any curls? Curls.
Curls for the girls, baby.
That's right. You know, well, then you got to be starting doing some curls. What's your bench press like? You know, what's it? And all of a sudden they give them all these, because, you know, again, it's just like when I go to the gym. When I was a young man, and, you know, perhaps you still do, I don't know, but it was all free weights. When I was a young guy,
oh, yeah,
it was all free weights, man. You did everything. Today, I don't touch a free weight. Today, I'm on the different machines that they have at my gym. I can actually do a lot more and get really more constructive with the tone of my body. I'm not out building up. I just want to be toned.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, at my age, I'm not out there to go, hey, babe. You know, I'm not walking the beach with my speedo.
We're just fighting the bulge, baby.
That's it.
We're,
you know, at this point,
get ready for the game.
Like I told you before, we're talking. I went to the doctor today, and you know, I told him, I said, man, at least I don't have that little, you know, that what do you call that?
The muffin top.
Muffin top. That's it. At least I don't have no muffin
top. You're
not
wearing skinny jeans
No.
All right. Sorry. Maybe a little high drift shirt on at the gym. No, none of that.
No. I usually wear my Saints T-shirt, my sweatpants. I'm there to work. See, the gym I go to is no fruit bar, no fruit juice bar. There's no fruit juice bar. No fruit juice bar. There's no area for the kids. It's a gym. You walk in.
No air conditioning, no nothing. They don't even have water. They bring some trainers in every like 45 minutes with squirt bottles. That's all you get.
I actually went to a gym like that. There's one gym like that. Well, it was. The fellow who owned it died. But
well, probably because he was thirsty.
Now, do you ever heard of Ford's Fitness over on the other
side? I've actually heard of it, yeah.
Glenn was the owner. Real nice fellow. And, yeah, it used to be an old Goodyear station or a Goodyear, you know, one of those big giant tire places. And he bought it, turned into a gym. So they'd roll up the doors. You know, you had those big doors that you could roll up like a garage door. And they had the big fans in there. That's it. Air conditioning? Yeah, no damn air conditioning. Wintertime, just keep the door closed. Your body heat will heat up the place, you know? So, yeah, that was a serious, and the smell of it. You know, you walk and
go. Yeah, the smell of that.
Woo, dude, that's a gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
But anyway, I think that you're going to see these guys change just in a few short months because of diet and a different kind of exercise regimen. So I think they're better. And then just wait between year one and two, like we've talked about before. Give them an entire year where they get used to the system, you know, of how to prepare yourself, how to take care of yourself. Because a lot of these kids, you know, they don't take care of themselves because they're young. They can bounce back. Oh, I sprained my ankle. You know, I sprained an ankle. I'm on crutches for 2 weeks. They sprain an ankle the next day. Hey, I'm fine. Tape it up. Oh, yeah. Spit on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, whenever your kid play basketball, roll your ankle, you know, sit out a game, then limp, and the next thing you know, you're running.
You're running.
Yeah,
that's right. My dad used to do this when you sprain the ankle. That's the old way to do it. He get a Coke bottle, you know, put it on the floor and said, roll your foot back and forth on that bottle for a while. It'll make it pass. Honest to God.
Wow.
You know? Well, they used to do that in the high school I went to. They had, like, rolling pins.
Yeah.
And you put that on the ground, you know, or golf balls. You roll a golf ball underneath your foot to get the cramps out, and the, you know. I was like, okay, that's old school, buddy.
Yeah. No, that's old school. Man, every time I think about how even me, I mean, whenever I played high school football, I mean, just how much the world has changed and how much more we've learned about things. You know,
yeah,
like
sure.
they were like, no, water give you cramps. Don't drink. They wouldn't give you water. Now you go anywhere, you can't see somebody walk from one side of the parking lot to the other without a bottle of water in their hand, you know.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. Well, yeah. I didn't play any sports in high school because as a concert pianist, my parents were like, can't hurt your fingers.
No, can't hurt them.
But
fingers.
I'd still go work out. And I still remember, like you were just saying that about what we used to do. After school, I get a plastic garbage bag, cut out holes for my put my head through and my arms through, and then put a sweatshirt on top of that in New Orleans and go run my 5 miles. Yeah, that's why I only had like a 32 inch waist.
Yeah, well, that'll do it. All right, we're gonna hit a quick break, come back, we're gonna talk a little Adrian Peterson before we close it
all out. Right, sounds good.
Hey, this is Dave Romero of the BS and Beer Podcast. You guys know I like to goof around and have a good time on our show, but when I'm looking for real hard-hitting news, I head over to LandryFootball.com. Now back to more BS and Beer Podcast with my boys Heath and Tomas.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
I know it may seem like a short time in between when I say we're going to take a break and then we come back nowadays, mainly because I'm too busy to make any more of them commercials. Although, listen, I have some few other things that I have in mind that I want to do. But we take little breaks and we unwind. We talk a little bit, maybe have a beer sometimes. That's our little, you know, recharge the batteries. You know, it ain't easy putting up about 47 minutes right now.
It's not easy for me. I talk all day long.
It's not easy to put in that kind of work. I mean, we union, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, you can only do so much work without taking a break. So
that's correct.
Adrian Peterson.
Wait, time for a break.
So some more information came out about Adrian Peterson's contract.
He only has one leg.
Well, how'd that happen? I don't even know what that means, Tomas. You're just being disruptive now.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm going to need you to sit back over there and be quiet and throw in your 2 cents when I get done. That's how this thing works.
Okay.
You start getting off the rails here, and that's how it don't work.
I'm ready.
All right. So Peterson, 32 years old. He has a contract. It's actually a two-year contract. It's $3.5 million guaranteed, but could be as much as $12.5 million if he meets certain incentives. And incentives like playing time, being on the roster. There's incentives for him, touchdowns. So there's quite a bit.
Tying his own shoelaces.
You see, now he can. See, you're just distracting me. Like, if you're not going to contribute anything, you're just over there trying to distract me. And you know how I get a little flustered when I lose my concentration.
Okay.
Well, anyway, here's my biggest worry about this incentive-laden contract.
Don't look at me because you made
it. Yeah, I'm going to look the other way. All right, here, I'm going to look over this way. Yeah. He's not here, so I can look that way because it's not nothing really ugly over there.
He'd be making fun of you, too.
Yeah, but I'm concerned with this contract that if something happens to Ingram. Let's say, you know, he goes down in week three with, you know, an injury that keeps him out, you know, God forbid the whole season or whatever. Then by default, Adrian Peterson's playing, not necessarily because he's playing so well, which I hope would be the case, is that, hey, we can't keep him off the field because he's just playing so well that, and we're willing to pay him the money because he's playing well. What I don't want to have happen is him hit these incentives because of by default, you know, everybody else is injured. He's running, he's playing average football, but we have to pay a huge contract because there just wasn't anybody else available. So not a huge concern, but something that went through my mind. I was like, golly, with an incentive-laden contract like that, you just hope that something doesn't happen to the other guys where, you know, and things like that have happened in years past.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, well, you can never have enough quality backups. You know, I mean, I was very satisfied that we had Hightower last year to come in and spell Ingram here and there and do some good things. You know, he was a very positive figure on the team, and so it was all good. Now, I'm just hopeful that Peterson can do the same thing, be on the ready, you know, and not be a prima donna, not be expecting to be the starter. And I hope that they can actually have a relationship between him and Ingram. Because I think that Ingram had a relationship with Hightower. I don't think that they were at odds with each other. But, no, you never know. And I would agree with you, Dave. We would hope that no injury would really befall Ingram, forcing us to start Peterson for several games.
Right.
But I'm going to throw this out at you. I still am a big believer in that young kid, Lasko. I'm not giving up on him. He got hurt because the few times that he was in there last year, he impressed me. He showed he had skills. So,
listen, I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm about Lasko. I do see something in him that says to me, I want to see him get more playing time.
Yep.
And I could easily see him, and he's not going anywhere.
No.
Not only is he a good special teams player, but here's the thing. You just mentioned it. You can never have too many backs. Some guy gets dinged up, whether it's Peterson or Ingram, for, you know, like, hey, man, he's just going to be out two games or whatever. You need that third back, like, and that's the thing that gets lost in all this. You know, Kamara's going to get a lot of touch. He's going to get a lot of work early unless something terrible happens and he just simply can't grasp it or whatever.
No.
But for the most part, you're going to have three running backs make the team, and they're going to get their touches. And Lasko, at some point, there's just enough that I've seen from him that I just feel like
you're going to have five running backs make this team. Four running backs and one fullback.
Yeah, and I think it's...
And Lasko, I think, is the fellow who's going to be the fourth running back who's going to make this team.
Right.
I will tell you, it would not surprise me because the way I have it planned out at this point, I mean, we still have to see how things go, but I don't see Kadett making a team.
No. I mean...
I don't.
I mean, that's not even...
I know, because,
to me, that's not
because
even
you've got Kamara now.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who can catch the ball. Lasko can catch the ball. Ingram has gotten much better. The only guy who can't catch the ball is Peterson.
Right, and he's not a very good receiver.
So you know where he's going to come in now, you know, because he can't really, you know, not a good receiver, you know. But you've got Ingram, you've got Lasko, you've got now Kamara, and you only have one more running back because we're going to keep the fullback. We're going to keep Coon. There's no doubt about that, the way we play our offense plays. So to me, those are the five guys making this team. I don't see Kadett's name in there. You know, and again, we picked up Kadett simply because last year the injuries and because we needed somebody to play that position. You know, the out the backfield, swing pass. You know. But the problem is he would make 2 yards and get tackled, so what good was that? You know, whereas I think Lasko would have broken a couple of tackles.
Sure.
And for sure, Kamara is going to do something there. So anyway, so it'll be an interesting thing. Just like you said, I'm glad to see that he's got an incentive-laden contract because perhaps that'll – you know, maybe had a little chip on his shoulder and say these people thought I was washed up.
Right.
You know, let me push really hard. You know, so we'll see how it goes. It'd be interesting to see him and Ingram in the backfield at the same time. Because, again, we go back to what I said before. When we have the kind of offense that dictates to the defense that they have to play a certain way, that's when we can beat the heck out of them.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, any final thoughts?
One thing to mention that I saw was that the new kid that we just drafted, Hendrickson.
Yes.
He's going to be wearing number 91, which was Will Smith's number.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, they'd given him that number to wear.
Well, that was that's Edebali's number two as well. Not two, but as well.
Yeah,
also.
Yes. After Will Smith. But yeah. I think that with the – I think it has a greater impact because –
now he's passed away.
Yes, now that Will Smith's been murdered and, you know, we don't have him anymore. And that he, apparent from all indications, was he was going to be the defensive line coach.
Right.
So, you know, I just thought it was an interesting thing that they gave him number 91.
Okay.
So I just wanted to bring that up there, you know. And I'm excited. I think the rookie camp just, you know, really got my juices flowing. And now I can't wait for the next one. And I need to get the dates for the training camp because I will be going to training camp this year just like I did last few years.
Even if it's in New Orleans, I'll just make sure I'm wearing my Speedos and nothing else on.
You're gonna get that trash bag, put it over, and then put a sweatshirt over.
Won't need to, man. I'll be ripped. You know, I'll have 62-year-old abs. Not 61-year-old abs. I'm not 62 yet, but I'm getting it. So,
well, I'm excited to get a chance to bring old Chris Landry onto the show.
Yep.
Get some of his insight. I've heard him on, you know, WWL. I've seen him on actually national broadcasts and stuff, and I'm stoked that he's going to be part of this and bring some of his insight. So if you guys haven't had a chance to go to LandryFootball.com, go and check it out, man. It's some really insightful. It's good news. It's good. It's good insight, and you're going to want to check it out because it's a lot of Saints stuff in there. And, and the thing is, he's not just a Saints guy.
Right.
I mean, he's an NFL guy. He has a lot of contacts. He'll get some news and some tidbits in there that you may not have heard. So
especially if our opponents, you know, have some stuff on them.
So we have to come up with a name. I was thinking like BSing with Chris Landry. Huh? You like? No. We'll work on that.
Yeah,
huh?
You have to work on that.
Yeah, by the time we do it, we'll have a little promo
something,
thing.
And, going on there can put together.
Right.
And I don't forget now, we just had the rookie minicamp. We did this show. We did the show before the minicamp. And I haven't heard anybody call in. So what's the problem, man? We need people to call in.
I gave kind of a little heartfelt thing, too. I kind of put myself out there.
Yeah, it didn't help. So now I'm going to give them the tough love.
Uh-oh, here we go.
If you listen to this show and you like this show, and I've seen many a report. I'm so happy. It moves me in such a positive way to know that people like listening to this podcast. We love doing this podcast, I promise you. But we want to hear from you. We'd like to hear your opinion. And so we have set up a number for you to call in and leave us some point of view that you might have. Now, of course, we ask you to have, you know, good language, you know, PG rated. But so what's that number again, Dave?
That number, thank you for giving me the time to pull that up.
No problem, sir.
701-901-1295.
That's that number.
Call the number. Give us your thoughts. Give us some talking points. Give us some stuff to discuss. And I think that's another thing, too. We're going to use that hotline for questions for Chris Landry here in a couple of weeks when
Absolutely.
We get on the show. I think
Absolutely.
That'd be another good avenue to get everybody involved. So.
Absolutely. And don't forget, we do the Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm at the BSM Beer Who Dat. Or Tomas Mauricio 19. Either way, you can get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always very, very excited.
Oh, excited.
You know?
Yeah,
I'm very active on Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time because I do some other things on Twitter, business-wise. And so I'm constantly checking. So, again, if you want to drop me a little note, let me know. Little Dice drops me notes now and then. I have a couple other people that follow us that drop me a note now and then. So there you go. Another way to communicate with us.
All right. Well, so for the absent Heath Elsenson,
I got nothing.
Tomas Mauricio to my left. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.